I spent the winter, one of my projects was studying the book of Colossians on a Wednesday night class led by Hannah, Andrew Hannah, a very capable teacher. You know, the class averaged, not that you necessarily say it's by the numbers, it averaged 35 to 40 people. But on the last night, he said, I can't, he told me, he called me up and said, I can't teach it. Could you teach it? I would like you to do Colossians 4, verses 2 through, which we're going to do today. So I said I would. But I said, do me a favor. Don't mention that you're not going to be there that last night. Don't even mention my name. Sure enough, he mentions it. We are averaging 35 to 40 for all winter. I'm asked to teach. 7 people showed up. It was good. It was fine. Nineveh, Evan, was it okay? Because you're going to hear it again. And there were 3 elders there, too. So I came under great criticism for everything I said. Only kidding. I printed. Isn't that funny? Oh, it was fine. It was fine. I had this typed up in the New King James Version, so you have that here today. We're going to look at that, and I haven't asked Dave. Dave, would you, when I asked to read a verse, we're going to do verse by verse.
Yes, sir.
Would you mind being the reader?
I'd love to.
Great. In this, on this sheet of paper.
All right.
Now speak loud and clearly, sir.
Yeah, we're a little worried. We're a little worried about your voice. Father, help us now. May good things come. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get started here. I am losing my sight, and it's going. Why don't you turn that light on again? Let's see if it's better. I find a bright fluorescent is so hard. I'll leave it on for now. Yeah. What I'm going to do is we'll read a verse, and then you guys comment what you see there, okay? And then I'll give you my comment. This particular portion is at the end of the letter, and it's very practical and very instructive and very helpful. Paul never visited Colossae. He wrote this wonderful letter to them, but he never was there to visit them. Okay? And then the last portion, and it'll probably happen next week, the last portion is a bunch of names of people. And I'm so excited about the names of these people, I wish I could just go to that lesson and just do it right now, but I won't. I mean, it's really good stuff. Really good stuff, in my judgment. People like Luke get mentioned. Oh, my goodness. So here we are. Anybody got any questions before we start? Any comments? Any criticisms? Anybody? Anybody? Huh? Hey, we had a lot of discussion on that Wednesday night class, wouldn't you say? There was a lot of discussion. On Wednesday night, it's better, Bert. You get an hour and 10 minutes. So you get about 15 minutes for prayer, and you got a nice long hour. I even played a song on my YouTube that night, but we won't do that today. Let's read verse 2.
Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful.
Yes. I have about 7 minutes here to talk about this. What do you see there? As you see that said, give me a couple comments.
Prayer often.
Yeah. Yes.
Always. Continually. And looking for things to be thankful.
Yeah.
For.
Which aren't hard to find.
Yeah.
No. Good. We could have a 12-week Wednesday night class on the study of prayer, and we probably have had that. In a bygone day, I don't know. There are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses concerning prayer. It is an important part of our life, and it is vital to all of us if you want to live for Jesus. Paul himself never tires to exhort you to pray. It's all over the place as I read the epistles that Paul wrote. It's just so common, so important. Now, let me ask you a question. It's not a trick question. Why pray? Just speak up.
It's the method he has ordained to bring about his sovereign will.
Wow. This guy should be at Southern Seminary.
We're also commanded to pray.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, if I try to do things on my own, then, like, it's just a mess. So I can't imagine just trying to do things without asking God first to give direction.
Yes.
As many times when I talk to my wife, if I'm too busy and if I'm driving and I haven't sat down in my room and prayed before I left, my day starts off not well. I submit myself to him in
yes.
prayer, and I ask that he would guide my path.
Yeah. Me.
I cleanse myself from my unrighteousness.
Yeah. And
then my day is established on a more solid foundation. Mm-hmm. I feel a peace in my heart. I feel that I'm able to perform at a better level in a way pleasing to him.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Don't we know all about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you're in the work world every day?
Yep. Yeah. Plus he says, draw near to him.
Draw near.
He will draw near to us.
Amen. It is the Lord's, our way. It is the way that we talk to God.
Yeah.
Pretty important, eh?
It's
the way we talk to the Lord. So it's a big thing.
And prayer is never for us to inform God of what's going on, but so that we recognize God's going on
yeah.
in the world.
Yeah, amen.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's also important in your prayer time to listen to God.
Yeah.
It's not one-way communication.
Yeah.
Conversation.
Amen.
To take time to not just...
Help you, but yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Really, I've noticed that I once heard someone say...
What, say that again?
When you're in the middle of the night, you know, when you can't...
Yeah.
Someone had said, that's God's way of saying, it's time to talk.
Amen.
Now you're ready to listen, and I can't tell you, last night I was in prayer for a ton of half. You get so much back... You actually can hear his voice in your head talking to you because all the world is quiet.
Yes.
No one's around, no noise.
Amen. Last night, there were 2 hours I could not sleep. I was thinking about this stinking class. I was thinking about facing you guys, and I couldn't sleep.
Couldn't wait.
Well, I don't know. I'm just, Lord, help me do a good job. Help me to see. Go ahead.
I also want to add that prayer in itself is like an act of faith. Because you're talking to even acknowledge he exists.
Yeah.
Right? Even those in the foxhole.
Yeah.
God help me. So just even that reinforces our faith.
Amen.
There's even research that shows that prayer, when people are in suffering or just generally, it's great for mental wellness. So people who actually do that consistently.
Yes.
Especially if they're healthier.
Yeah.
So even God's design of how we were to live our life.
Amen. Great comments. We're to pray with simple faith. We're to believe. When we talk to him, we're to believe these things are true. They're part of my life every day. Now, is Jerry Benge here? No, I think he's teaching that class for 24 weeks or something. 30 years ago, no, he's got a long session there on the history of the church.
Okay.
Now, don't be leaving this class. I wanted to hear that because I love history. I just love history. But 26 years ago here, I think we were new to the church. I just wanted, you know this, and I know I've shared it, but I just want to take a minute to show it to you. And he taught us this. Ways to pray. Ways to pray.
Adoration.
I'm telling you, 6 out of 7 days in my focused prayer life in the morning is using this outline. Otherwise, I'm thinking about where's the stock market going? What are we going to do today? You know what I'm saying? It just has been so helpful. Adoration. Start with just praising God, adoring Him. Uh-oh. Then you got to get to this one. Confession. Okay? Good one. Okay? And then we got a third one. I think it's in order. What is that?
Thanksgiving.
No, it's out of order.
Supplication.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it is T. I'm sorry. Yeah, T. Thanksgiving. Okay? This is concerning yourself. Being thankful, body, soul, and spirit. Go ahead. Body, soul, and spirit. Go over it all. Thank Him. Thank you. You got a heart beating still. Okay? Thank Him for it. And then I would say this is the one I spend the most time on. I don't say that proudly. It's just the way it is. I'm praying for a lot of different people. We just got a boatload of people in our lives, don't we?
Yeah.
We're praying for. Dave, I've got my evangelism Bible study tonight. It's our last session. And we've just been really working hard. And it's going to be at my house for the first time. So we want to have a good time. And praying for these men who are not saved. That tonight might be the night. In my house. Because
right.
The guy that leads the study got saved in my house in East Point 40 years ago. In my bedroom. We had a Bible study like this. And he got saved. So this means a lot to me.
Sure.
On behalf of other people. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
This is a good little thing. All right. Bear with me here.
That's love.
Well, we need to live that way. All right. There's a mystery. I don't want to go into it. There's a mystery with regard to prayer. But the key to me is we need to do it, and you guys have made that very evident. We need to do it often, and we need to do it well. Jesus said in the garden, watch and pray. Okay? We need to do that, lest you enter into temptation. You know, there used to be a time in my life as a young man where all the pornographic magazines were in Cunningham Drugstore. And I used to have to purposely pray to God that I would not walk by those papers because I would be drawn to them immediately. You know, anybody ever faced that? You know what I mean? We have to do stuff like this. We don't want to enter into temptation. We want to avoid it. Could somebody read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18? Ephesians 6, 18. And then we'll move on.
Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints.
Isn't that a good one? That's a great verse. That's a verse that fits very well into what we're doing here. Prayer is to be with thanksgiving. Let's stop for a minute. Anybody want to share? I'll give you 2 minutes about how you prayed in the last 7 days and God answered your prayer and you were so thankful. You were so thankful. Anybody want to share one? Go ahead.
It drastically happened this week. I got a new job at Home County Mental Health.
Oh.
Worked there for about 5 weeks, and it was so dark and so horrible.
Wow.
I'm going to cry because an amazing thing happened. I'll need every bit of 2 minutes. I had people praying for me because it was so dark.
Wow.
So dark, and I was being mistreated.
Yeah.
People coming in were being mistreated. And just praying, I would cry out loud in the car. I would write out my prayers while I was at work. Because I'm not fully trained, so I had downtime. And I'd have to hide it because just constantly being watched by people who hate God. And His name was being misused just horribly. It was just like dirt was cleaner than what their words were.
Wow.
It was just so, so bad. And then my supervisor called me, and she's wonderful. But she doesn't see all that happens in the front. And she called me in over an incident that had happened with one of these people that this was so horrible. And she wanted me to write a report about it because this man who had come in was suicidal to begin with and he was mistreated. And the way he was mistreated was so mild compared to what it typically is. And I said, I do know what you're talking about, but I don't remember enough to write a report about it. But let me tell you, that was so mild compared to what I see every day.
Yeah.
It allowed me to have a voice to tell her everything that's happened.
Praise God.
Wonderful.
She acted on it right away. So then it was the holiday weekend, and I'm telling you, I have a pit in my stomach every time I'm going into work because it's so bad. And Monday was, wow, it was like, wow, this is so much better. I don't know what's happened. Jesus, you know, thank you, Jesus, so much. And the whole week was so good. And my sister-in-law also works there, and I said, Kim, I don't know what's happened, but it's like night and day. All of a sudden, they're not using God's name like trash, like a cuss. Like when you hear people use God's name as a cuss word, I mean, that was like to the 10th level of what they were doing, how they were treating people. Suicidal and just need help, and it was just so dark.
Wow.
And then all this happened, and my sister-in-law told me, because I brought that up to the supervisor, there were people who were advocating for me. They said, if Susan quits, we're going to.
She's praise God.
So we're tired of our consumers being treated like that by these people. We're the first face that they see.
Yeah.
And it just all changed in that time. And I don't, like, I feel like it's genuine, and like now that it's like, it's not hard to be kind. It's just, you know,
let's take it.
So much. Yeah. It was just so, I can't even say how bad it was and how good it is now.
Wow.
Praise God.
And all the Lord's people said, Amen. Christiana, is Christiana here?
No.
Who's our scribe?
Kathy.
Make sure you get that in the prayer minutes. Let's pray right now. Susan, tremendous Christian, just outstanding Christian. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, boy. What can I say? Nothing more. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 3.
And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains.
Any comments on that one? Couple. I'm sure there'll be when I talk too. Go ahead. Any comment? Any initial comment? Go ahead.
The mysteries of Christ. I was deep into 25, 30 years of drug abuse. And I couldn't quit.
I'm giving you 2 minutes.
I tried to quit in every way I did. Treatment centers, all of this. And then sometime in a 12-step program, somebody told me, you're never going to be able to do this on your own. You got to ask. And they didn't call him Jesus. I wasn't looking for God. They called it a higher power. He says, you got to ask for it. Somebody higher than you, and they can do it. And I says, I don't know if I believe in all that, and I'm not. And they said, all you have to do, even if you don't believe, don't doubt my belief. Just don't doubt that I believe because it worked for me, and just try it. And I prayed on it, and it's been 20 some years.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Bob. All right. Paul says here, pray for me that I can get out of this stinking jail as soon as humanly possible. I want up and out. Did anybody read that? No, we didn't read it. Didn't read it at all. And by the way, he had every right to say that, but he didn't do it. Look at what he has to say, folks. He asked for prayer for him and those with him, Luke, and some of these other guys. Sorry, I get a little excited. In prison, that they might have an opportunity to tell others about Jesus Christ. He did a better thing than asking to get out, I believe. He asked that he would be given more opportunity to tell others about Christ. He wants to open the doors, and you will know where you're being led. An opportunity would take place, and it did. Anybody want to illustrate this from your life? Anybody want to illustrate? I'll give you 1 minute and 10 seconds. Huh?
I can say about a testimony of an individual I heard everybody knows this man, Pastor John MacArthur.
Yeah.
During the pandemic, he was standing up to the governor of California.
Yes.
And he normally wouldn't do this. See, you know, it wasn't until they started to mess with the house of God.
Right.
And together. And that's when he said, if they throw me in jail, then I'm going to start my prison ministry, just like Paul did. So I mean, you're not going to stop.
That's right.
Proclaiming Christ.
Isn't that great? Yeah. 81 years old, ready to go. Ready to go.
But that was great. I love that.
That's a great illustration. We do not want to carry on in carnal achievements in our prayers and in our conversations, but we want to be led by God and tell about the achievements that God is doing through us, okay? I was a manager for a long time in my career. I don't know, hundreds of people over a 40-year period I managed, and I enjoyed it. But anyway, I had a lady, she hated me. She despised me. Because I was the boss, and she didn't like me being the boss. And she treated me pretty rough. But anyway, she got cancer. In a six-month period, I sent her 38 cards. 38 cards to her. Guess what? She came back to work. She comes into my office, closed the door. I mean, don't tell my wife this. And gave me a big kiss. Barry Malloy, I will never forget that. You know, I thought it was the right thing to do. You know what I mean? I just did it. And we had a relationship from then on that was like so pleasant, it's not even funny. But she was difficult to work with. But boy, was she good at what she did. Okay, he says this. He is in chains for Christ. And he got there from some bad things that happened to him in Jerusalem. Okay? The mystery is the truth of the church I see here. And in particular, the idea of the expression Christ for the Gentiles. Oh my goodness! Christ for the Gentiles. It's like Hamas asking the Jews to come and have dinner with them tonight. The idea of it was just impossible. And there was a time when Paul would never consider that. Okay? I believe that was an aspect of Paul's work in that he despised at one point in his life and did not accept that. The Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, they were so mad, they were so upset with him. You know what happened. We don't need to go in this today. It resulted in him being sent to Rome on a long journey, an unbelievable journey. And that's all I'm going to say. Verse 4.
Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should.
He wants to be so effective, but simple and clear that it will be understood by anyone who hears the truth, okay? Anyone who hears this truth, that they would understand it, and it wouldn't be so complicated and so the Greek and the Hebrew and all that when you're talking to an unsaved person, you know? We should learn from this, I believe. Don't make it so complicated. Tell it as it was written clearly. Show the scriptures. In the last 30 days, I've done that Romans road with an unbeliever in my life. Okay? That little 12 little verses. Okay? It's wonderful. I love that little thing. And I went through it with him. We read it. I let him comment. And I was brief, and I would comment. And we went through all 12 of those. And I felt, Lord, this could not have been better. He didn't get saved, though. He didn't get saved. But that's not up to me. Right? That's not my job. We'll see what God does. I'm not done with this guy. He probably wishes I was. We should learn from this. We should learn from this and be clear. I want to make a statement. The message must be presented. The word salvation implies clearly that they are lost. They're going to hell.
That's right.
And they need to be saved. Never neglect that when you're talking to them with regard to the gospel. There has to be a place where that is clearly taught. That's what it's all about.
You know, Barry,
go ahead.
Many times when I speak to somebody and you're like the truth spoken, which I have said,
yeah.
Many times in their mind, they create a God in their own image.
Yes.
My God is a God of love.
Love.
He understands me. Yeah. I'm a good person. I haven't killed. I haven't murdered. I haven't done. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're justifying what the life that they have in the law that is what they deem to be upright. And they don't realize that we're all sinners and we're in need of the Savior.
Right.
And to click that in is a divine thing from God, and their eyes have got to be open for their heart to be convicted.
Amen.
I think also that we need to tell them what they're being saved from.
From.
They're being saved from the wrath of God. And that's poured upon them right now in their state of unbelief.
Yes.
God is upon their head.
That's right.
That's what they're being saved from. They're being saved from his wrath.
Yes.
To come.
Amen.
Barry, over.
Go ahead. I can't see you.
Okay, so.
You're a blur. I have my reading glasses on.
When you teaching or evangelizing, talking to someone about the gospel.
Yes.
You do have to help them realize that they is a sinner and in need of a Savior. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the way how, you know, we evangelize, and so they know you can't save yourself.
Right.
So you is in need. And then it's questions we would ask them to let them admit that they are a sinner and they are in need of a Savior. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
And do it with graciousness.
Yes.
Do it with brokenness. Sometimes with tears, okay? It's an attitude thing there. We've got to keep that in mind. All right. Where am I at here? Verse 5. Now, wait a second. I want to make a comment. Verse 5 is one of the most esteemed verses in all of the Bible, according to Barry Malloy. If I were going to pick 20 of the top 20. You're going to say, what? This is one of the top 20 for me. So now let's read it. Go ahead, Pastor Dave.
Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity.
What's your thoughts?
Amen.
Huh? What's your thoughts?
First.
Go ahead. Just speak up. I'm sorry.
So the last word there is opportunity. And if you map that back to verse 3, where we pray for open doors.
Yeah.
And we remember, and this is Revelation 3:7, Jesus has authority over opening the door. And so sometimes when we think about evangelism, we think we have to open the doors. We have to sort of create the opportunities.
Right.
We just pray for the opportunities.
Yes.
And pray, as this says, for wisdom and alertness and readiness to respond to those opportunities.
Yes.
the Lord will take it from there.
That's right.
Yeah. And, you know, as Dan was talking, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to, or you said, this doesn't mean they're going to get saved that
right.
day or that minute or whatever, or even get it that you're talking about. But the Jesus opens the door, creates the opportunity, yep. we are called upon to make the best of that opportunity. And if I could just, real quickly, years ago, I had an opportunity to learn about Rochelle Christie, a campus apologetics organization, and had the opportunity to open up that or to create that as a student ministry at the university where I was teaching. That was an opportunity the Lord opened that door, and by God's grace, you know, we had dozens of students coming through and learning about the gospel, learning about your two campus debates where the gospel was proclaimed on the very campus of that University of Wayne State.
Wonderful.
Three debates. That's right, three. And it all goes back, Christ, Revelation 3:7, Christ opens the door. We're called upon to be alert to that. This Wednesday night, this Wednesday night, there's a mission movie about how the Lord...
Here, right at the church.
Right here.
Yeah.
The Lord is opening the doors in the Middle East. These Muslims are having dreams.
Yes.
Jesus
yeah.
coming to them. What is that? That's yeah. opening the door.
Yeah.
Jesus is opening the door.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Now, in Ephesians, I think it's 5:16-18, similar language is used. It says, redeem, King James, redeem the times, for the days are evil. Okay?
Barry?
Go ahead.
Just a real quick comment.
No, please.
We went up to, a couple of us, Craig Tucker and I, went up to Manitoulin Island last weekend.
You did.
And we asked the team to pray for us.
Yes.
With the opportunities. And the Lord shut down the power poles Sunday. So we were able to go with Randy and his wife. All the way to the other side of the island for 3 hours in the car and talk about the gospel.
Amen. And Randy's not saved.
Well, I...
You think he's saved?
Maybe.
Okay. I'm just saying that from Dan Schnepper. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so what an opportunity.
What an opportunity.
We didn't do that. The Lord did that.
The Lord right. did. And these guys, led by this guy, one of my favorite people, he doesn't know that, but he's one of my favorite. This guy, along with his team... We are taking the largest crowd we've ever taken to that forsaken land. How many are going up? Total.
Around 70.
Could I hear an amen?
Amen?
We got 70 people in the middle of summer when everybody wants to go to the cottage, including me, and they're going to Manitoulin filled with bugs and mosquitoes and all the rest. Oh, I just can't tell. I'm so excited. Including two other churches from Kentucky, right?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? Yes. What date's that?
The week of July 4th.
Yeah, it's just, Watke, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. Listen, folks, we are being carefully viewed by unbelievers, okay? And we should be found blameless and wise in our behavior and in our talk. Okay? We need to be so careful that way. The world actually, and this is not literally, so don't get too mad. The world actually is more interested in your walk than they are in what you say. They're watching us. They're watching us. Someone has said to me recently, and again, don't take it totally literally, but I get the truth of it. He said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. Well, he needs to also hear a sermon. But you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's the message? Okay. What was the message? How do we behave ourselves in the marketplace? Okay. And then he throws this wonderful term out, which is just so cool. He says, redeeming the times. Redeeming the times. I have taught 8-week series. I've done it twice in this church, and I know I've done it at least 8 times, according to my, if I teach the same thing over again, I always write the date on it, you know, just so I know where I did it. On this very verse, for 8 weeks, I preached to 800 people in Cuba 18 years ago on behalf of this church, 800 people in Bayamo, Cuba. And guess what I preached on? This verse. I don't know. 8 people came forward to receive Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't know. Like you said, the Lord does the work. But I liked it. I felt it was helpful. I tried to show people God, especially we Christians, He called. How do we use our time? How do we multitask to maximize the things of the kingdom of God? And I just really love this. I really do. The phrase is used there, buying up opportunities. Okay? Taking advantage of it. And every day we should savor the times to witness of the saving power of Jesus Christ. Take that opportunity. Don't be afraid. We should be ready to share, to snap up the opportunities given to us.
Yes.
Okay? Most Christians, 90% of the Christians in this church, Bert, if I'm wrong, he's an elder, so I got to be, how many other elders? We got Reed here. We got a few of them. I'm in trouble. Let's just say this. Most people who come to the church are going to come at 11 o'clock and everybody, it's the best hour of the week in my judgment. Let me tell you what. Christians, they come in, they sit down. It's good. I'm not saying it's bad. It's good. We need it. And then they get up and they go home. And precious little occurs between the week as far as serving God. As far as helping others, caring for others, making some phone calls, writing some, precious little is done. It's true. No, I don't want to be that kind of guy. I don't want to be that kind of person. I want to be the type of person that every day when I get up, I say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to be involved in? And I want to worship Him. I want to glorify Him. But I want to be involved in the work of God. Amen? We're called to do this.
That's right.
And all of it. Ephesians, the days are evil. All the more. Any final comments on this? Go ahead, bro.
As we read the word, as we should daily, and as we pray, and when opportunities present themselves, it becomes more of an immediate reflex.
Yes.
The Spirit of God dwelling inside of you responds to an individual's comment.
Yep.
That open doorway right there, but the word that we have as we saturate ourselves becomes an immediate response of truth to that individual. I found that when I was young in the Lord, that wasn't so, but as I grew in the Lord, it was so.
Isn't that great? Yeah. And you know what? There's joy in it.
That's right.
There's joy in it. It's a wonderful thing. You know, it's a wonderful thing. All right, we're going to do one more verse. I got 8 minutes. That clock is wrong.
Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Oh, that's a good one. What do you see here? Huh? You ready? Our speech should be courteous, it should be humble, and it should be Christ-like. We should be free from gossip, and I confess this now before all of you, and maybe Dave will say no more teaching. When I was working, I love gossip. It's a weakness in me. I love gossip, but it's wrong. It's wrong. Keep me from gossip. We should not be involved in that kind of thing. You know, there's some sort of joy. We should not be frivolous people. We should not speak uncleanness. You know, we should not have bitterness. You know, I had a person call me for prayer this week. And I love this lady in Christ. But boy, is she bitter. Just bitter. So much bitterness. And I just, I don't know. I didn't like it. I just didn't like what I heard. But I didn't scold her, Dave. I didn't scold her at all. We prayed. And I prayed that we would walk like Jesus and be like Jesus. But there's something wrong there. There's something wrong in her Christian walk. It's an area. And the other thing we should do, we should be honest and without hypocrisy. Okay? I'll tell you what. We won't go on. We should not be dull. We should not be flat in my judgment. How about some passion? That's what I see in the word salt. Maybe you guys see it differently. I see a little passion. As a matter of fact, I see a lot of passion. That doesn't mean we have to scream and yell, but I mean passion for the things of God and the Word of God and the way we want to talk about it to others. Go ahead, please.
A couple things. I mean, I always think of that verse, you know, where we're told to be gracious.
Oh, yeah.
Kind.
Yep.
Gentle.
Absolutely.
You know, in our culture now, just being able to sit down and have a discourse on things we agree or disagree, it's nearly impossible.
Yeah.
But as Christians, we have to keep our cool. We have to be calm. And I think the salt there, I think that refers to more. We know that just the Word of God irritates sinners. So we don't. Just like in the kitchen, we can't make salt stronger.
Yeah.
So, right, we need to have, you know, compassion and conviction, but we still need to be just loving and peaceful so they hear the truth, that they see it's in love.
Yeah.
And there's so little of that, even in the church, I see.
Yep. I agree.
Sit down and talk.
Go out of our way. Go out of our way. This week, nothing to do with this talk except the word salt. I took my blood pressure. You know, I'm supposed to do that every few days, you know. Man, it's 150. Guess what? I cut out salt all week, and I love salt. I cut out salt the entire week. This morning I got up, it was 120. Isn't that good? I don't know if that's it, but I thought, oh my goodness, that 150 scared me. Why did I say that? I have no idea. Oh yeah, the word salt. All right, what do you got here? Wait, let me look. I just hit one more thing. Oh.
But it is true that it
4 minutes.
Because I had one lady tell me real quickly when I went in to get my smoothie on my birthday, she said, "Oh, you must be an Aries." I said, "That I am not. I am a Christian."
I like it. She's a hairdresser. Poor girl walked out bald. You should strive to always be worthwhile and profitable. Okay? I'm having this Bible study tonight with these guys, and Terry's the leader. And believe it or not, I don't speak a lot. Now, I know you're going to say, you're a liar, Malloy. I purpose not to talk too much. I really do. But I want to say that which would be worthwhile. That would be profitable for the occasion. Okay? Because you've got to boatload. We got a little boatload of unsaved guys there. We could have a class, I believe, on just this subject. I really do. That you may know how to answer each one.